We've been talking about soul survivor, inner thriving in the world of chaos. You know, I mentioned before, sometimes life just gets crazy. People get crazy. Politicians get crazy. News conferences get crazy. All kind of stuff can happen in life, and you look and go, wow, this is just crazy. People doing violent, crazy things. And so the whole question that we have, we're trying to get to as we're talking about this, we've had a couple of sermons on this already, is how do you thrive internally in a world of chaos? How do you deal with all these pressures and all these things that are happening? You know, Jesus predicted that this is going to happen. Jesus already said in John 13, he says, "These things I have spoken to you so that in me you may have peace. In the world you have tribulation, but take courage, I have overcome the world." So he already told us there's going to be challenges in life. Now, in our modern context, here in America, sometimes our greatest blessings can also be some of our greatest curses. I talked about a couple weeks back about how suicide rates are up in our nation, 50% for women, 20-some percent for men. Anxiety, pressure of life is really compacting us and impacting us where it's messing with our souls and our emotions. How do you thrive internally when you got everything around you giving you chaos? You know, when you're up on a plane, anybody done any flying around here? You're up on a jet. Let's say you go, and those planes go 35,000 feet in the air. If they don't pressurize the cabin and bring it down to about 7,000 feet pressurization inside that cabin where you couldn't breathe, you'll die. You know, 7,000 feet is about like going to the Grand Canyon and certain parts of the Rocky Mountains. Of course, the Rocky Mountains get higher than that. But but because of that, you've got to fly in this plane and you've got to be inside of it, and it's got to be pressurized or you can live there. But on the outside of that, the pressure is amazing, the kind of pressure that comes against that plane. You know, if you're in a submarine, from what I understand, they have two different hulls. They have one that's on the outside of the submarine that's supposed to be waterproof. Then they have an internal one that works together to handle the pressure of the water. So when they go down into the water, they go down to a certain level, it doesn't crush the submarine. And so think of it like this. I look at our internal life like the cabin pressure inside of a plane. I might can't take 35,000 feet up in the air, which is what life feels like sometimes, but you bring it down to where you have to compartmentalize to 7,000 so I can live. So I believe that's what God does for us. He brings down that compression, that pressure, to where we can handle it. Now, we as people, we always look to different things to help bring down the pressure. We're looking for the right job. We're looking for money, the right money, the right relationship. You want to be popular. If I'm popular, somehow that's going to make me feel better in life. Or my hope is in politics. God help you if it is. Or my hope is in social media. Another double God help you. In social media, we feel like if we are connected somehow, these things are not necessarily bad, but they can, if we're looking to that to help regulate what's inside of us, looking for that peace, looking for some place for my soul to have rest, then we're going to be in trouble. We have a battle with fear. There's a battle with depression. Our human nature is to look for things that'll give us peace. Some people look to substance abuse, alcohol, and drugs to get through life. Some people look to meditations and different Eastern religions, trying to find some place that I can go to take the pressure off of me where it doesn't feel like I'm not crushing inside. There's some kind of rest. I'm trying to get to the 7,000 elevation. I'm trying to get to the 7,000. instead of being way up in the clouds. Life is at 35,000 feet, but I want to be at 7,000 feet internally. When we're looking for things to give us rest. Now, let me just back up before I say this. Many of us in this room have been Christians for a long time. Some of us maybe not as long. And you can sit there and say, oh, Eddie, I've heard this before. But let me just tell you, I've been in the ministry about 30 years. Have served God even longer than that. And I'm still trying to learn this. I'm still trying to figure out how to handle the life in the world I have. So don't ever think you have arrived. So don't check out on me the rest of this sermon. If you've been around a while. I need you to listen to what I'm telling you, because the Bible says, him who thinks he stands, take heed lest he fall. I'm just doing that to keep all you people who think you're mature, and myself included, humble here. But when we're desperate for something inside to bring us peace, it's going to lead us to things we shouldn't be doing. It's going to lead us to stuff online that we shouldn't be looking at. It's going to lead us to watch stuff on TV we shouldn't be watching and live the godly life. If you don't look toward Jesus, you're going to look and there's going to be things that's going to lead you down the wrong path, and you're going to turn out worse than when you started if you look to the wrong things to try to bring you some kind of peace and some kind of rest. I wish I got it right every time, but I don't. But as I look back on my life, there are certain things I have noticed that if I am under pressure, that I tend to sort of gravitate toward a little bit. Now, these things aren't bad, but it's just things that you look to something else to help you other than God, other than Jesus. And I'm going to talk about that again in just a moment. You know, I have a sign up in my office that says, if a sweet tea can't fix it, it is a serious problem. If a sweet tea can't fix it, it's a serious problem. And most of the time, a sweet tea can't fix it, as hard as I try for that to be it. But I put that in there just to remind me, just to lighten up a little bit. Not be so intense all the time. It's okay to relax a little bit. So what I'm going to share is just, these aren't things necessarily bad, but if we look at this as a way to fill up and may give us peace, it can turn into something that's not productive. We can binge watch movies. And I'm not saying it doesn't help your soul to binge watch movies. Sometimes it may not. Let's watch every Rambo movie from now till how many they got? 5 or 6. Or let's watch Rocky. I'm getting to old. I'm showing my age now. Let's watch some of these movies that young people like 3 or 4 or 5 in a row. They're not even helping me over here. That's all right. But just sit there and watch. You know, now Creed is out. So I got 6 Rockies and 2 Creeds. And by the way, that's a pretty good movie. Anyway, moving on. To watch. So we look at binge movies or binge watching Christmas movies. Lord have mercy. I mean, it may help you temporarily. I mean, I love Hallmark. Don't get me wrong. I just like, but it's the same plot throughout every movie. But, you know, but it always has a feel-good ending. I saw one yesterday. I said, I just can't take another one. Didn't I? I said, I can't do it. That was the worst movie ever. And I just said, I got to go do something. I cannot. But it ain't going to help me. And it didn't give no peace to my soul. It might give some other people I know rest to their soul. Or maybe you binge watch sports. I remember one time I watched 3 NFL football games back to back to back. And at the end of the day, I enjoyed it at the time. At the end of the day, I just said, well, what was that all about? I felt so empty afterwards. Even though my team won, I still felt empty that way. You might like to shop in here. Go around the mall, walk around. And maybe that's your thing. And I'm not saying these things are bad in and of themselves, but we can't look to things to give us rest. Even though it's wonderful to go for those of us who like to go out in the woods and camp and get away from it all. There's something about that clears my head. But you know, when I'm out there, I'm thinking about the Lord. Thank you, Jesus, for the beauty. Thank you for nature. It's like these things help us. All these things help us on some level, but we can't look to those things to really give us all that we need. And I don't always do this well. You know, one thing we've got to do, whether you're a Christian or here or not, is what goes in your eyes and goes in your ears impacts you. What goes in your eye gate? What goes in your ear gate? What goes in there impacts you. Let me read you something. I was reading a book by Ed Stetzer. And follow along with me. We should have this slide up on the thing. He says, we live in a world that is bombarded by technological development. And our habits are being developed long before we stop to think whether these advancements and practices are helpful. In a study charting well-being among American adolescents, measured by self-esteem, life satisfaction, and happiness, psychologists discovered a significant decline after 2012. In exploring the underlying causes, researchers observed that increased use of smartphones by teenagers is likely a contributor to the trend. They found that teenagers who spent time engaged in screen activities, i.e. social media, the internet, texting, gambling, Lord help us, registered lower levels of psychological well-being. On the other hand, teenagers who limited cell phone use and regularly engaged in non-screen activities such as impersonal social interactions, sports and exercise, homework, and church activities had higher psychological well-being. Now, what am I saying here? I'm not saying we need to get rid of our phones. I remember I had a flip phone. Can you remember back in those days when that was all you could get? Come on, Irene, I appreciate that. I just remember being on campus. Can you believe this is aging me? I'm aging. I'm on campus walking around. Pastor Mike at the time called me and said, now got back to the office, he said, Eddie, I need you to go get a cell phone because I can't get in touch with you. I sort of like being out there actually not being able to get in touch with me, but anyway, I went along with it. But that's when cell phones came out, early 90s, a cell phone, and it was a flip phone. Then you got one you could actually text, and then now you can run your whole life from your phone, and there's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with technology. Thank God for the blessings of technology. But parents, I'm going to give you some advice right now. I know I'm butting into your business, but let me butt into your business a minute. If I don't do it, who else is going to butt into your business at the pastor? And you can deal with me afterwards. Please, come up and afterwards. You can slap me around if you need to. But anyway, you need to monitor what your kids are doing with those smartphones, people. You need to monitor them. I'm not saying take them away. It's between you and God, but you got to monitor what's going on in the lives of your kids because they're not going to be happy. They're not going to be satisfied doing those things. Doing those things. All right, you still love me after that? Yes. Monitor your kids. And obviously it's different. The older they get, there's a different level that you have to do. But I don't believe these things are going to give us much rest for our soul. All these things. They're not going to give us rest for us. So they may give us momentary pleasures, momentary lapses, momentary feeling good, but it's not going to be something that's going to last and give us the strength that we need as we're dealing with, as our lives are flying at 35,000 square feet. It's not square feet, excuse me. Feet. In that jet plane, passenger plane rather. We got to be able to monitor. Our internal monitoring has to be 7,000 feet. Here's what the Bible says. This is what God has to say about this. 1 Peter 2 says, beloved, I urge you as aliens and strangers to abstain from fleshly lust which wages war against the soul. There is a war in your soul that takes place. There's things that come into your mind that God didn't put there. Here at Isaac, but God, here's where Christ comes into this. Just, okay, Eddie, you've convinced me. What does Christ have to do with this? Let me read you this passage. Here's Isaiah 53. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we esteem him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the chastisement that brought us well-being or peace. And with his wounds, we are healed. It says, brought us peace. One translation says, well-being. So when Jesus died on the cross and he rose from the dead, it wasn't just so that we could be saved and go to heaven when we die. There's a lot of benefits. I read this to you the other day about the benefits that Christ has. Forget not his benefits. There are certain things that come with serving Christ if you serve him. And one of those is well-being for your soul. When he died on that cross and he rose from the dead, he was more concerned. He was more concerned, I believe. He's going to go to heaven after that, but I think he's more concerned about how you walk right here on this earth right now, how you carry yourself. And so the peace that he gives you is a supernatural thing that only comes from him. But he died so that you could tap into that, so you could experience the blessings of Jesus' death, his burial, and his resurrection. So yes, he covered our sins. He forgives us our sins if we're willing to repent. But in the same sense, he wants to give us wholeness of mind, wholeness of life. He says, I've come to give you life and to have it more abundantly. Have it more abundantly. Let me tell you something. You're going to have some crazy things go through your mind sometimes. The mind is a battlefield. And listen again here, those of you who have been saved a long time. The mind is a battlefield. And I wish I responded right all the time. But I don't. But there's been time. I remember one time when I was in college. I went through a period of battling fear. Then I'll tell you another story of fear later in my life. But I had a fear of dying with a horrible disease. And I remember one day I was at a work study program working. Anybody, they still have work study, financial aid. And so I was working there. They didn't have anything for me to do that day. So I was sitting down doing homework, which is probably what took me over the edge anyway. It was probably calculus or something like that. Or an accounting class, so that's probably what got me depressed. But anyway, I was there, and I had a little slight headache, and I kid you not, for 30 minutes to an hour, I just sat there thinking, I'm not going to live. And before I knew it, I had convinced myself at 20 years old that I was going to have a brain tumor, I was going to die, and I'm not making light of people who are struggling with that, but for me at that age, I was perfectly healthy. It just showed you, I got so depressed, so into it, and then I eventually left work and walked out and said, wait a minute, I feel fine. And I was beginning to learn what this whole thing about warfare of the soul was. And early on in my walk with Jesus, I was beginning to understand that no matter where you are in life, there's going to be thoughts that go through your head, and it's only going to come from three places. It's going to come from God, the Holy Spirit. It's going to come from the devil. Or it's going to come from you. Maybe something you ate last night. Maybe there's chicken wings or something you had last night. That might cause you to have some weird dreams or something. But I begin to realize there's battles of your soul. And I remember one time, a number of years later, I'm learning this. I'm learning how to fight this. I'm learning how to recognize when things aren't lining up with the Word. And I remember we had some things happening and it had some things happen in our lives. And I remember I went through a couple of years of time that if Catherine was out running an errand and she came home later than I was expecting, my mind would just go off on something's going to happen to her. And it was just crazy. Thoughts would come to me. And she came home one day and I just said, look, honey, you know I love you. But if you'd please turn on your cell phone for one thing. Secondly, if you're going to be late, let me know. Because the devil is messing with my head every time you leave and you're home late. I went through a period of a couple of years where I had to deal with that. Thank God I'm free now. The Lord has blessed me. I'm just believing they don't try to jump on me this week after I preach this. But anyway, I went through that battle of fear. I've had crazy thoughts go through my head. Eddie, I can't believe you're the pastor. Well, I'm a human being. And I'm a human being first. Before I am anything else. So you're going to have some crazy things go through your mind. It's not going to give you peace. It's not going to make it where you can thrive in the midst of pressure or give you rest. You're going to have those things happen. It's a battle. I remember one time I was looking over this deep. I was in a real high up and I was looking down. And this song came to mind. Jump. Might as well jump. I've only heard that song once or twice in my life. Anyway, and I'm sitting there like, whoa, where? I know that didn't come from the Holy Spirit. That was an easy one to figure out. And I'm assuming some of y'all might have had some crazy thoughts come too. Don't raise your hand. But I know I can't be the only one. Maybe the devil won't speak a rock song to your mind, but he'll think some things to you. You'll have other stuff like, I'm going to lose everything. Everything's going to fall apart. Anybody ever had this kind of thought? We're going to be on the street. Nobody loves me. Everybody hates me. My life doesn't matter. Is anybody familiar with any of this? There is a battle going on inside your mind. There's a battle. Now the next question is, well, Eddie, what do I do about it? Let me read you some passages here. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh, but divinely powerful for the destruction of fortresses. We are destroying speculations and every lofty thing raised up against the knowledge of God. And we are taking every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. Taking every thought captive. Then in Romans 12 says, and do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. Here's what I do when I feel like I'm getting bombarded in my mind. I'm assuming I'm not the only one, but I'll for the sake of argument, I'll say I'm one of the few people who actually had this struggle. What do I do when I am bombarded with fear, when I am bombarded with pressure, when I am bombarded in my soul telling me everything is going to fall apart? Here's what I do. Now, everybody's made differently. But for me, I have to go start meditating on God's Word. I have to open up the verses, and I have to just read. There's been times I get home, and I've told my wife, and she'll verify, I said, I just got to go out on the porch. I just got to read my Bible. I got to clear my head by reading this Word, and I'll meditate in this Word, and I'll sense the power of the Spirit coming inside of me. These are not just words on a page. This power right here, when it's anointed of the Holy Spirit, when you open up these Bible and you read it, it gets into your soul, and it floods the zone. It floods the cabin pressure inside of you. Think of yourself on that plane. You're internal. You're in that cabin. You're 35,000 feet. That's life. But you're in the cabin. You're at 7,000 feet. And you're in peace, and you're breathing well. You're sleeping good. Things are going all right. You're enjoying yourself. There's joy in the midst of pain. There's peace in the midst of turmoil. So for me, I got to get in this Word, and I got to let that just get deep down inside of me, go down into the crevices of my soul. And I will read my Bible for an hour, come out like a man of God. I feel like Superman now. Cam's got nothing on me now. I'm telling you, I walk out after an hour of just being in His presence. You may be more of a worshiper. Maybe you need to go off in a closet somewhere and get you a guitar or sing or do something. Let that worship come in there. That's what you need to get you through this stuff in your head and in this soul. Maybe you're a prayer warrior. Maybe you're the kind of person that needs to go get in a closet and pray. Maybe that's what clears the cobwebs in life and the struggles and the pressures and the things that come at you. There's power in the Spirit of God if you let Him come and minister to you. You got to have the strength inside of you. Let it build up the cabin pressure inside of you so you can resist the pressures of life that come around you. It's going to take the Word, worship, and prayer. It's going to take those things. Eddie, I've heard that before. Well, I tell you what, I have to hear it constantly. Yeah. I got to constantly remind myself what this Bible says. This isn't complicated, y'all. I think if we all got it all down, we'd all be walking in a whole lot more victory than we are. I would be if I was more in this Word and I was more in tune with what the Lord is saying. The law of the Lord is perfect, it says, restoring the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise and simple. I wish I got this right every time. I wish that I always got it right, that when I'm in these things in life, that I go to the source and I get built up like I want to. I'm really doing my best to let that be how I run my life. And we need to do the same. I want you to, one thing you take away from here today, I want you to take this away. that the only lasting and real place to have inner thriving in the midst of a crazy world is in Christ. That's really the only place you're going to get it. Think about it. You're under this pressure this week. Think about being in a plane and cabin pressure and all the stuff outside, but look inside. I'm at peace. I got rest inside. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget none of His benefits. Jesus said this to us in the battle, in the warfare that we are. As we are taking every thought captive to the obedience of Christ, He said, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you, and as the world gives, do I give to you. Do not let your heart be troubled, nor let it be fearful." Be fearful. Our desire is for us to be able to live in such a manner that we thrive internally as the world is in chaos. It's going to happen. We're going to have challenges. We're going to have struggles. We're going to have things coming against us. We're going to have pressures of life. But in Christ, as we grab a hold of Him, and as we do what we need to do to seek after Him, He will give us the internal fortitude. So even if our lives are flying at 35,000 feet, internally, we're flying at 7,000. We're able to make it through what God wants to do. So I believe God has given us all that we need to be able to live in a world of chaos, to thrive in a world of chaos, because He has given us the ability to do it. If you don't know Jesus today, if you'll turn your life over to Him, I'm not going to promise that everything is going to be perfect and you're not going to have battles. But what I will promise you is that He will be with you. He'll be all that you need. He'll get you through. He'll help you. He'll strengthen you. He'll encourage you. And He'll get you over top. He won't take away every trial that you have, but in the midst of that trial, He'll give you all that you need, and He'll be with you. That's the Jesus that we serve. He loves us. So let's pray this morning as we wrap it up. Jesus, I just want to thank You this morning for all that You've done. Lord, help us to thrive in the midst of chaos. Help us to keep our mind focused on You. Help us to take every thought captive, Lord Jesus. Help us to keep our thoughts and our attentions toward You. And Father, I pray for anybody in here today that doesn't know You, that what I'm sharing today to them doesn't make sense to them, or it's something they've never experienced. I pray that You would reveal Yourself to them. Let them know, Lord Jesus, that all these thoughts that go through their mind are not from You. All the things that condemn them or put them down or give them no hope and fear, and anxiety, those thoughts that come in so rampantly into their hearts, Lord, I pray in Jesus' name that You would come and strengthen them in this moment, clear the cobwebs of their mind, help them to see that these things aren't from You, that You're a loving God, that You're there for us, to support us, to help us in every way and in every facet. Thank You, Lord, that You died on the cross for our well-being. You died on the cross so that we could have peace in our souls, Lord Jesus. You died on the cross to help us walk through no matter what's happening in turmoil within our own lives or chaos in the world. You've given us all that we need to overcome, Lord Jesus. Just as Your scripture says, in the world you will have tribulation, but take courage. I have overcome the world. Thank You, Lord Jesus, for Your encouragement. Thank You for Your grace. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Why don't we stand up and we'll go out with a song this morning.